Welcome to the Gray Divorce Podcast, hosted by divorce financial analyst and retirement planning counselor, Andrew Hatherley. Join Andrew and guest experts as they help late life divorcees build the financial and mental foundation for a meaningful future. There is life after divorce. Now, on to the show.
Hello, everybody, and welcome to the Gray Divorce Podcast. Today's podcast is the first of a two-part series on divorce coaches. And I thought I'd do something a little different and have one episode with a divorce coach that specializes in working with women, and then another episode with a divorce coach who specializes in working with men. So, ladies first. Today, I'm chatting with certified divorce, life, and health coach, Nanette Murphy. Nanette works with women over 40. In fact, she has a private Facebook community she hosts called Women Divorced and Divorcing After Decades. I think all of you listeners will be particularly interested in hearing Nanette's story because she divorced later in life after several decades of marriage, and that's something many in our audience can relate to. Nanette is also a member, as am I, of the Amicable Divorce Network, which looks for less contentious resolutions to divorce. And for more information about the Amicable Divorce Network, please visit divorceamicably.com. Nanette, welcome to the Gray Divorce Podcast.
Hello, Andrew. Thank you so much for having me. I really appreciate this.
Very pleased to have you too. You know, perhaps you could start us off today by giving us a little bit of background of your story and how you came into the world of coaching and specifically divorce coaching.
Okay, well, I will try to make it brief. I, was married for 20 years, somewhat happily, I thought, you know, as we all get married that are married for that long, life isn't perfect, but you get through it. By our 21st wedding anniversary, our marriage was crumbling. I say my world shattered. And in my case, it was infidelity, but after you've been with someone for, you know, nearly 30 years, I was approaching 50. I was terrified. I was fearful of the future, fearful of being alone, fearful of always being unhappy. By the time we were married 25 years, we were divorced. And it took me a while to find my purpose. I knew I had to do something. I was a stay-home mom, raised three children, but now they were, you know, young teenagers, young adults. I was supposed to be retiring with my ex-husband and we were going to travel and do so many things together. It was actually in 2020 when I and everyone else had to slow down, stop everything we were doing and shift gears. And that's when I always say I could only Netflix binge and make banana bread for so long that I decided to take some online classes. And ultimately it started with a simple free online Yale University course called The Science of Wellbeing. And that is really my platform that just catapulted me into the direction of life coaching and decided to do health coaching as well. And then also in that time, I wrote a book. I had lots of time. So I really was busy all day long. And then in 2021, I was introduced to divorce coaching. And as a person who was divorced, I was dumbfounded, actually. I'm like, this is a thing. And I was fascinated and then realized as I was taking my business coaching classes and so forth, that my niche was staring me right in the face. I wanted to be a divorce coach for women, specifically over 40, who were divorcing. I wanted to help them because I understood exactly where they were, what they were going through, what they should be anticipating. And the knowledge that I have gotten and learned and is just more than I ever expected, truly, 4 years later.
So Nanette, your focus on working with women, would you say, really grew out of your experience and what you know, as opposed to, you know, you don't want anything to do with men or?
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. Yeah. Some people say, hey, where's all the love for men? You know, kind of jokingly, but I'm like, I don't want to pretend when I'm coaching. I know how I felt. I know the pain. I just feel it. I sometimes, even when I'm talking to my clients, I can feel it. And I'm, you know, brought back to those deep emotions of sadness and loneliness. So I don't pretend. I wear my heart on my sleeve. I am who I am. And I want to ease. I'm not going to make it better for the women. I want to ease their anxiety, take away a little of the stress. I'm very focused also on their self-care. I really want to make sure that they take care of themselves first, and then they can deal with all the craziness of divorce. And that's what it is.
There's a lot there, and I'm particularly interested in what you talked about, what you mentioned about the process of finding your purpose. But perhaps before we get into that, perhaps you could distinguish for our listeners who may not be familiar, as you weren't, with the idea of divorce coaching, and how you distinguish what you do to, say, the work of a therapist helping people regulate themselves emotionally while going through divorce.
Sure. You know, interestingly, when you're becoming a certified, you know, for certifying as a life coach helps you deal with the present into the future. Therapists tend to deal with your past and how the things that you're dealing with in the past. I want to help a woman deal with her emotions that she's dealing with right now. We need to address them. We need to move through them. I want to help her prepare for what she needs to know moving through the process, like your financial advisors, like yes, you need an attorney, but that's not the first step. And I wished I would have known that. I wished I would have known that, no, it's not the divorce attorney that's first on the list. Yes, they're needed, but they're not there to give you emotional support. I've talked to attorneys who have told me horror stories of their clients calling them and literally wasting both their time, the attorney's time and the client's money. And it's not necessary. You know, I've talked to some clients that have said, well, how did you handle this? And what should I do about that? And they kind of prepare themselves for their conversation with their attorneys, maybe even conversations they should have with their financial advisors. It's not just dealing with the emotions. It's also getting them prepared. Like I said, getting that list of questions together. What do they need to think about? I help them prioritize, you know, what's your priority moving through this marriage? Everyone's priorities are different. And when you're not thinking clearly and you're foggy and you're, because I remember that brain fog, I think you and I have talked about it, that divorce brain. When someone who is thinking logically can present something to someone who can't seem to clear the fog, they go, oh, wow, I never thought about it that way. And sometimes it's just the littlest thing, but can mean so much once that ink is dry. Because once the ink's dry, there's no turning back. And if there is, it's going to cost you more money.
You know, we're really on the same wavelength here, Nanette, because you mentioned attorney shouldn't necessarily be the first person you contact because you don't know what your divorce process will look like. And, you know, we're both members of the Amicable Divorce Network, and you know, divorce, the process of divorce can often lead people to go through a more stressful process, can bring out the worst aspects of their personalities. You know, we've both heard the phrase, you know, that lawyers have repeated to me, that the criminal justice system may see bad people on their best behavior, but the divorce world often brings good people or regular people to behaving very badly. And I think the process can be part of that, what I sometimes call the divorce industrial complex, which can be a very litigated, nasty approach, but it doesn't have to be that way.
Nope.
And no. The amicable divorce network that we're both a part of is one alternative, collaborative divorce, mediation. And you mentioned, I'm glad you mentioned, because obviously I'm a financial advisor working with people before, during, and after divorce, and the importance of getting educated about the process. Mm-hmm. It's so important because, as you mentioned, this could be, and likely will be, the largest financial transaction in your life. And you want to make it with a clear, level head, with as little of that divorce fog or divorce brain that you mentioned. Right. And so I could see how, you know, the role of somebody who's been through this, such as yourself, in counseling women on some of the pitfalls to avoid can be very, very important.
Totally agreed, 100%.
Now, when you're working with women, do you try to get involved in the process as early as possible?
Oh, absolutely. I actually really like to promote the fact that on average, a woman contemplates divorce for 2 years. And I really try to promote the fact that in those 2 years, so much preparation can be done. And I also say, I am not an advocate for divorce. I'm not. I didn't want to be divorced, but I am an advocate of knowledge and preparation, because all marriages go through their hiccups, and maybe you can work things through. But if you already know, if the woman already knows that she can manage financially on her own, then she can make that decision. I've talked to women that they're not divorced, but they contemplated it and they did crunch the numbers, and because that's a huge fear for anyone. But so often in the gray divorce, we're over 50, we're 60. A woman I just spoke to is 79, you know? Yeah. And our the setup of the marriage, you know, is old. Women have their role, the man has his role. Often the women I talk to don't have credit cards in their name. They don't have, the house is not, their name is not on the house or the title of the car, the bank account. It's just, and it's no fault of their own, because it's just how it was. And the more you get into that cycle, you tend to forget and you tend to not think about it. And then all of a sudden your world explodes and you're like, oh my God, now what?
Exactly. And, you know, the question I hear all the time, am I going to be okay?
Yeah.
Because quite often the husband was the one managing the finances.
Right. And the other thing I want to add is, even if you're divorcing and you have a high net worth, this statistic kind of scared me. As I said, if a woman divorces with a large sum of money, she could potentially be broke in 5 years because she did not manage her money properly. I thought, oh my gosh. So the one thing I also like to pat myself on the back for is, that was the first thing that I took control of, is I sought out a financial advisor. Of course, I hired the attorney first, but I needed to know, I called it my allowance. I needed to know how much money, because I mean, I was over 50. My husband was already retired. So, you know, I put away your credit card, budget, live below your means, take that first year and just slow down, put the brakes on. Don't get crazy spending. Just because you have the money doesn't mean you need to spend it until you figure out exactly what the future looks like for you on paper.
That's so important, Annette. You know, I often say it at my workshops, which are probably 90% attended by women, that divorce may be a legal process, but it's all about money.
Oh, and absolutely. 150%. Yes.
And if you and I, through our experience, because we both went through divorce at about the same age, learned a lot and grew a lot, and we'll talk about that in a second, from the process. But it's so important to to be educated and to seek counsel. And I know people seek counsel with their friends and family, which is great, but friends and family are not experts in divorce and quite often will provide incorrect information that will make the process ultimately worse. Mm-hmm. I know I was even getting educated, poorly educated about divorce from my wife while we were going through it. I mean, I remember one unpleasant conversation that to the effect of, you're going to pay me spousal support for the rest of your life. Well, no, because my life expectancy was probably 30 or 40 years. So that was not going to happen. But, you know, I didn't know because, you know, it's kind of embarrassing as well, being a financial advisor and being so ignorant of the financial aspects of divorce at that time. Right. I guess probably like you, learning from that experience, you want to help others avoid, not only avoid the mistakes we made, but experience the benefits and the joys of growth after divorce.
Oh, so true. So true.
I like your approach. You mentioned the team approach and well, what seems like a team approach, you know, divorce coach, kind of like a counselor through the process, and obviously a financial advisor. And of course, the important role of legal advice being a legal process. But you mentioned people seeking counsel from attorneys. Well, they're not trained to provide counsel in divorce. And every attorney's office will have, you know, a box of tissues on the conference room table. But it's really in nobody's interest to pay an attorney $400 an hour to cry on their shoulder when it's hurting you financially and it's, they're not qualified to offer that sort of advice.
They're not. Unfortunately, I spoke to one lady recently and in our, you know, our consultation call, and her words to me were, I don't think I can afford the luxury of a divorce coach. And that literally just broke my heart because And you can only say so much, but the attorneys don't want to deal with tears and emotions and, you know, outbursts. And it's only costing you so much more money. I always say I spend thousands extra because I was relying on my attorney when I got emotional, when my ex-husband would text me and he would send me over the edge. It just baffles me. I'm like, why did I not know divorce coaching existed?
That's so true. And I can't tell you how many attorneys have told me about clients sending them long emails, which if the attorney's going to read it, it's going to take him or her a lot of time to read it, you know, venting about their soon to be ex. Yeah. And that's, as I said, that's money down the drain there because the attorney doesn't know how to deal or how to handle that sort of conversation.
And they hit the clock timer.
Oh, yes.
I had one financial advisor tell me he has a buddy who is an attorney, and the financial advisor said, oh, he'd talk to his clients. He would talk to his clients and not charge them, like 15-minute phone call. And the lawyer could not comprehend that. He just couldn't go, you talk to someone for 20 minutes for free? That's what we do. We're also here to, you know, have someone to just give them advice. It's just a different outlook, a different perspective. And honestly, Andrew, I think you doing what you do in the financial industry and I coaching, we need to change the way people think about how they approach divorce and how they prepare, because society has just trained our brain.
Lawyer up.
And get a good one.
Yeah.
And somehow the more they charge, the better they are. So, yeah.
No, that's why it's so good. I love to be able to speak to somebody. I have consultations all the time because I've got an idea based on their situation of the type of attorney to whom I should refer them.
Right.
Yes, there are going to be cases where it's litigious and contentious. So I know good attorneys who deal in that realm. But mm-hmm. In many cases, the process, I sense that the process can be settled relatively amicably, sometimes very amicably. And there are settlement-minded attorneys who will be much more suitable and will get the process done more efficiently, quicker, and ultimately with less cost. And, you know, we'll be willing, attorneys who are very open to bringing in specialists such as yourself and myself, because attorneys don't, God bless them, but they're not emotional counselors and they're not financial counselors.
Oh, absolutely.
And so I think the best attorneys realize that in the best interest of their clients, that they have this team approach. And, you know, remember, it's not just, you know, after the divorce, the attorney's essentially gone, but the emotional work and the financial work continue.
Yeah, we're still there.
If we can be involved in the process early on and kind of help the attorney as we go through the process of the settlement and termination of spousal support, that sort of thing, they'd be a much better place and have professionals to counsel and advise going forward as well. And it's crucially important.
Andrew, you probably have the same situation. I know a lot of my potential clients feel that they will need me after the divorce is final for that what's next phase. And I'm sure that's how a lot of people think, well, let me see how much money I end up with, and then I'll get a financial advisor and then we'll work that way. It's like, it doesn't work that way. You have to plan and prepare and think ahead.
There's so many financial problems after divorce that could have been alleviated by focusing on things during the process. With respect to taxes and proper distribution of assets, but also with respect to lending. And that's another professional that I think is very useful, as a divorce lending professional, who incidentally don't cost anything during the process, but can really help with issues of financing the house and help the attorney with language in the settlement agreement that can facilitate loans. So, you know, once again, very important. I'm curious, maybe the logistics of how you work with your clients. Do you work on an hourly basis? Is there a set term? How is your process work?
I have 1 hour sessions, 1-to-1 sessions. You know, I do offer, you know, packages of 3, packages of 6. I don't feel like, I mean, if somebody wants to work with me just once for an hour, I wouldn't not do that. But I do feel that this is like building blocks, and we need to, you know, that first session, we've got to figure out where they're at, what they need, what their troubles are. So I don't believe that one session is sufficient or efficient enough. And I often encourage them. They often say, well, how often should I see you? I'm like, well, that's completely up to you. And, you know, when should I talk to you? And I often want to speak to them before they see their lawyer. Maybe they're having an appointment with their attorney on a Friday. Well, let's talk on Wednesday. You know, and often I want to tell them, are you comfortable with these decisions? And I've had clients where I don't feel like she's making a good decision. Unfortunately, she came to me at the very end. They were just wrapping it up.
Right.
And she just wanted it done and over with. And I was saying to her, are you sure? You've got to be sure if it extends another week. But I wanted to talk to them. I wanted to talk to them before they get into all that mess so that they can at least have some sort of a plan.
You know, I'm fascinated that not only are you a divorce coach, a certified divorce coach, which incidentally came at the end of your coaching journey to become a coach, but you're a certified life and health coach. And this fascinates me, because health is a big thing for me, particularly after my divorce. And I'm curious how your certification in life and health coaching has informed your divorce work.
Oh goodness, I just think it all connects. Like, I decided life coaching because I I like to help other people. I really like to, at first, honestly, I was going to help, young women and women figure out their lives. I have two young daughters, or not young daughters, or one's 32, but I have two daughters that, I want to help them be strong and gain confidence. And so then with that, I thought, I'm very much into health. I'm not a gym rat, but I take care of myself. I walk, I exercise, eat right. I wanted to incorporate that as well because I thought, in life, especially as we get older, we really need to be conscious and aware of it. And all of that going into divorce coaching, it just made sense because when I say health coaching in when I'm coaching in women in divorce, it's not necessarily their gym routine or, how much calories they're taking in. I truly want to have them make sure that they're mentally, physically, and emotionally strong. I want to make sure they're, I don't like to use the word meditation because that freaks some people out. They get all, bothered by it. But it's just learning to take a moment, take a breath. Essential oils are something that I always introduce to to women, and make sure that you take time, go for a walk, get back into nature. That's the health part. Go for a bike ride. Find an activity that you used to do that you've stopped doing. Let's get back into it. Or maybe you always wanted to take a photography class. Take it now. Learn to do something for yourself that will take your mind off all the madness that's going on. I also like them to have a mantra. My mantra was the Hail Mary. Don't know why. When I had dark thoughts, I just started saying the Hail Mary because I needed to clear out the dark thoughts. And it worked. It just kind of got me into, thinking more positively. Because I don't know about you, but that happened to me a lot.
Well, I'll tell you, and for any men listening to the conversation out there, meditation is not some woo-woo thing because I learned actually my wife and I took classes on transcendental meditation, and I have a mantra. Now, I am not nearly as disciplined as I need to be with meditating on a regular basis because with transcendental meditation, it's suggested that you do it 20 minutes in the morning and 20 minutes in the afternoon. And I'm still not quite that disciplined, but I'm disciplined enough that I know that in the middle of the afternoon, it's probably a good idea to go outside and just sit down for a minute and breathe and just say the mantra and meditate. No, you don't. Now, there's all sorts of different types of meditations, and you don't have to have a mantra, but I'm a big believer in that aspect of emotional, spiritual, health and cleansing. But you mentioned a couple of things I wanted to pick up on there because I was always a sort of anti-gym rat type of guy. I thought, oh, these guys are just trying to look good and whatever. And these are the guys that kick sand in my face at the beach sort of thing. And then, but my thoughts about going to the gym changed completely because I realized, and I think this came, this actually came, this is an anecdote I've told once or twice. It came from a visit to my doctor about a year after my divorce. And let's face it, I was feeling a little down at the time, as many people do. And I was telling him this. And before you know it, he's writing on a prescription pad, all these different types of medical aids, antidepressants. And I remember it was kind of amusing. Whoa, doc, shouldn't we be talking about diet and exercise? And he kind of grinned. He said, "Well, yeah, why don't you give that a shot first?" And I said, "Yeah, you think?" But I
Right.
took it seriously. And I started going to the gym, and now I go through. I have a membership and a trainer, and for the last 6 years, I've gone to the gym 3 or 4 times a week, most weeks. And yes, I'm in probably the best physical shape of my life. But the added benefit, which I didn't appreciate, was it just makes me feel better mentally. And if I don't go to the gym for a couple of days, you know, I may get in that funk saying, oh, I don't want to get out of bed. But in even days I'm going to the gym, I may feel that. And I say, you know what? I'm going to do it. And lo and behold, after lifting some weights and talking to the trainer, I'll feel a lot better, a lot more ready to tackle the day. And so people might consider that and be open-minded and give the gym a shot. And
for sure,
there are all sorts of shapes and sizes at the gym. So sure. We shouldn't feel it.
I tell my clients, if you don't do something, start. And if you already go to the gym or do whatever you do, just up your game a little. I went to the gym all the time when going through my divorce. I was introduced to kickboxing. Best thing I ever did when I went through my divorce.
Yeah.
The energy and the, you know, yeah, the anger. The anger that you can release when you're punching that bag, it's perfect. But I 100% agree with you, Andrew, is that it just gets your blood flowing. You get to think and you breathe in that fresh air. I actually call it your SEP strength, spiritual, emotional, and physical strength. You need all of it.
Yes.
You need all of them. I think you need all of them to get through anything in life. But when you're going through divorce, it's traumatic, and it definitely helps you. It helps you stay healthy and keeps you from going a little crazy.
You know, I want to pick up on something you said a minute ago. You talked about as part of the growth process, you know, after divorce, and we've discussed this before. There is such a thing as post-traumatic growth, and I was actually done a podcast episode on it. But you mentioned learning to do something for yourself, learning to do things for yourself. And yes, I understand what you're saying, but I think what you're doing and what I'm doing in our growth after divorce path is doing things for other people.
Yeah, very true. Yeah.
And I've found, for instance, I was always terribly terrified of public speaking. I'm still nervous before public speaking. You too, right?
Absolutely. Yeah.
But when I went to, this was once again after divorce, and an element of my post-divorce growth is I went to Toastmasters and became more comfortable with it. But part of the aspect, and I call it a virtuous cycle, and you can get in vicious cycles, and you get in virtuous cycles. But I found by growing personally and being open-minded to learning more about public speaking and doing it, I became better at it and was able to help other people through the workshops and podcasts and speaking presentations that I'm doing. But in doing that, the nerves were alleviated by thinking about the audience and thinking about helping these people I'm speaking to rather than being wrapped up in my own head. And I think so much anxiety and emotional distress is when we are very much wrapped up in ourselves. So I guess it's a fine distinction, and I'm not a psychologist, but I think you would probably mean to say also that getting out of our heads is very helpful.
Absolutely. So it reminds me of a story that I like to share, because yes, you do have to. Part of self-care is giving back. And I'm a huge advocate of community and volunteering. I've been on a charity event board for some time now for the same charity. But I started when we were just separated, and I began volunteering as this homeless shelter had a daycare center. So I started going twice a week to the daycare center. Tough job, rocking babies all morning. You know, it was very soothing. And there's one particular morning I was feeling extremely emotional. I was not in a good place, and I thought I should not go to volunteer. I needed to stay home that day. And I realized, well, that's not very good because they need me. So I put on my big girl pants and I went. And I was rocking this baby and tears were flooding down my face. I was in the back dark room putting this little baby to sleep. And I'm like, oh my God, this is not good. I need to go home. And all of a sudden I realized, it's almost like I felt this big hand on my shoulder saying, you are exactly where you should be. And I realized at that moment that these little people were giving me more than what I was giving them. And that is something else that I, you know, like to advocate, that if you're feeling really crummy about yourself, go out and give back to the community and really see people who are struggling. You know, this charity that I volunteer at, it's drug and alcohol addicted men and women, and they still have children in tow. And what this community does is amazing. But when you give of yourself to your community, wow, what you get back in return is it fills your cup runneth over.
And thanks for sharing that, Nina. That's a great story. And I see that in the divorce workshops as well. You can almost visually see the pressure being lifted off people's shoulders when they educate themselves about the divorce process, and it's that helping can be so good for the giver as well as the receiver.
For sure. And you know, reminds me of this one of my clients now. Our very first conversation, we hadn't even started sessions yet. And, you know, I was just talking to her and she was asking me questions. And at the end of this hour that we talked, she looked at me, she's like, I already feel so much better. I already feel like I've got this. And that was literally just an hour where she could ask me questions. And that's what I want to do. I want to ease their mind. I want to take this little bit of stress away. I always say it's going to be a bumpy ride, so hang on. But together we can do this. You know, you're good. You're going to be fine. We just have to take it one step at a time.
That's great, Nanette. On that note, how can our listeners find you if they want to find out more about your services?
Yeah, the best way to find me is on my website. It is livelifenowwithpurpose.com. It has all of my resources, my calendar. You can join my group, the private link to the group on Facebook, email. That is really the best way. I have books. I've written a couple books.
Where can they find you? Where can our listeners find your books, and what are they called?
Shattered Dreams and New Beginnings is my original book. And then the other is A Clear Path to Divorce. And it just gives you a step-by-step outline of how to prepare. I've even got I guess they call it a webinar. And it's 2.5 hours of information, because I understand, you know, not everybody wants to jump in and talk, and they're very nervous. So this is their opportunity to just sit and listen, look at some slides, take notes, go at their own pace, be in the privacy of their own home, and gain the knowledge that they need to prepare. And it's all on my website, resources. There's a rebuilding seminar, which is something new. And it's rebuilding when your relationship ends. I call it a game changer in the healing process. I wished I would have had the opportunity to take this 10-week program. So there's a lot there. There's a lot there. Before, during, and after.
I'll make sure to put your website address in the show notes to the podcast, but tell our listeners again the name of the website address.
LiveLifeNowWithPurpose.com.
Terrific. Terrific. Really enjoyed chatting with you, Nanette. Great conversation. Thank you so much for your time and the great work that you're doing with women.
I appreciate that. Thanks so much for this opportunity, Andrew. It was wonderful.
Thanks so much for tuning into this episode of the Gray Divorce Podcast. To learn more or get in contact with your host, you can visit Andrew's website at transcendretirement.net. Also, please feel free to rate, subscribe, and leave a review wherever you listen to your podcasts. That helps others find the show, and we greatly appreciate it. Thanks again for listening, and we'll catch you in the next episode.
Information provided is educational only and should not be construed as legal or tax advice. Each situation is unique and should be discussed with your tax or legal advisor prior to implementation. Andrew Hatherley is not an attorney and does not provide legal advice. Information provided is financial in nature. Advisory services offered through Hatherley Capital Management, LLC. Divorce financial analysis services offered through Wiser Divorce Solutions, an affiliated company.